Blog Talk Radio.
Strap on your seatbelt and prepare for takeoff. You're about to go on a journey. It's First Contact Radio with Joshua Poet.
All right, Dirk, thank you very much. This is Josh Poet coming to you on the 10th of September, 2019. Onward, let's go. News today, we're hearing about John Bolton, no longer in the Trump administration as the National Security Advisor. Now, I know that there's stories that he resigned, stories that he wanted to resign, stories that Trump fired him. You know what? None of those stories matter. The only thing that matters is that John Bolton is no longer in the position as being the National Security Advisor. And that's a good thing. There was a rhino who spoke out today, disproving that his what had happened, and that was Mitt Romney. He doesn't approve. He thinks John Bolton was the right guy to be there, and Trump shouldn't have gotten rid of him. Well, thank you very much, Mitt, because those words are enough to confirm that President Trump did the right thing, because we know that Mitt is a rhino, Republican in name only. We know that he is not with the same values that Americans have, and he's just one of those trying to tear our country apart, just like the others. He wants the war. They wanted the warmongers. Warmongers now are being weeded out. Little background information here so we understand what we're talking about. The National Security Advisor is the assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, commonly referred to as the National Security Advisor, or at times informally termed NSC Advisor. This is a senior aide in the Executive Office of the President based at the West Wing of the White House, who serves as the chief in-house advisor to the President of the United States on national security issues. The National Security Advisor is appointed by the President, does not require confirmation by the Senate, but an appointment of a 3- or 4-star general to the role does require Senate reconfirmation of military rank. The National Security Advisor participates in meetings of National Security Council, usually chairs meetings of the principal committees of the NSC with the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense. Meetings not attended by the President, the National Security Advisor is supported by the National Security Council staff, who produce research and do briefings for the National Security Advisor to review and present, either to the National Security Council or directly to the President. You could see and understand that that's a very important role. We need to have somebody who is going to inform the President about the security issues that are at stake for our country. That person needs to be somebody who wants to see peace established, not a warmonger. And that's exactly who John Bolton is. He's a warmonger. Call him a war hawk. He's been around for quite some time, and his reputation of being a war hawk precedes him, which is why he needed to go. And if we look at the past information and the past times that Trump's been having challenges, it's been with Bolton, because Bolton wants to go fight a war, and Trump doesn't want to go fight wars. Now, we'll be interested to see how this plays out today. I'm not really aware of what the liberals think of this maneuver, how many of them are upset over this. You would think none of them would be, because the idea is to have peace. The idea is to get rid of the warmongers. And if John Bolton is a warmonger and has worked with the various presidents doing warmongering things, you would think that those who were against war would be against this man being no longer in office. You know, we'd be glad about that. And we'll see. We'll see how that plays itself out. But I don't think that the liberals really know what they want. They just are against Trump, no matter what the case may be. Here's over at heavy.com, 5 facts you need to know about John Bolton. John Bolton has been fired by Donald Trump, who asked for his National Security Advisor's resignation. That's according to a September 10th, 2019 tweet from Trump himself. I informed John Bolton last night that his services are no longer needed at the White House. I disagreed strongly with many of his suggestions, as did others in the administration, and therefore I asked John for his resignation, which was given to me this morning. I thank John very much for his service. I will be naming a new security advisor next week, the president wrote on Twitter today. However, Bolton later texted Fox News to claim he resigned. The two men had degrees over various policy issues in recent months. Tensions between the two men were well known. Disagreements in the White House sparked recently when Trump said negotiations with the Taliban were dead. Okay, so five things. One, Bolton tweeted that he offered to resign. Obviously, we have different versions of the events from what Trump said. Second thing here, Bolton was scheduled to give a briefing the same day. The announcement was so sudden that John Bolton had been scheduled to do a White House briefing at 1:30 today. The Bolton firing continues a revolving door of Trump administration officials who have quit or lost their jobs. We know why that is, because they're swamp members and they're getting weeded out. Three, Bolton and Trump clashed over policy approach, Afghanistan, and military action. According to NPR, Bolton and Trump clashed over Bolton's aggressive positions on Venezuela, North Korea, and Afghanistan because Trump wasn't as eager to continue or get into confrontations. Whereas Bolton threatened leaders with military action, Trump wanted to curtail American involvement in Afghanistan. NPR reported, adding that relations between Trump and Bolton had soured to the degree that Bolton reportedly was excluded from meetings about the war in Afghanistan. The Washington Post recently reported that Bolton was against diplomatic approaches to end the war in Afghanistan, writing that Bolton had become a staunch internal foe of an emerging peace deal aimed at ending America's longest war. Okay, so why would you stop something like that? Why would you want to advocate for war to keep going on unless you are a warmonger, which is exactly what he is? Four, John Bolton is the former ambassador of the UN, was the 27th presidential national security advisor. Prior to his appointment, he served as a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute of Counsel at Kirkland and Ellis. He contributed to Fox News Channel and Fox Business Network, and his op-ed articles were regularly featured in major media publications. He was appointed as the United States Permanent Representative to the United Nations on August 1, 2005, and served until his resignation in December 2006. Prior to that, Bolton had served as Undersecretary for Arms Control and International Security from May 20, 2001 through May 2005. And finally, John Bolton was married and was born in Baltimore and is married. All right, so we have another Baltimore connection here. Maybe bad things come out of Baltimore. Not all things. Easy now. Don't think all things are bad, but there seems to be a lot of corruption and things coming out of there that are a bit shady. This might be one of those shady connections indeed that we have with Baltimore, unfortunately. But the good news is, Bolton is gone, and what will happen to him? Well, maybe CNN will hire him. They seem to be hiring all of the ones that are the swamp creatures, so it would be par for the course for them to want to hire him on board. All right, let's turn our attention over to media control. Media and control, we've talked about this for quite some time, been hammering home the point. In this day and age, if you don't understand that the media is controlled, then you are not paying attention. The media has been controlled for a long time. Americans have been controlled for a long time. If we go all the way back to this system of control, let's do a quick review. In 1871, United States of America became a corporation. That's when the District of Columbia was born. As a corporation, the United States was no longer the same place it was, where everyone was a sovereign citizen. You now had two different land territories, the United States of America as a sovereign country and the Corporation of the United States of America. The secret and the trick was, how do you get the people who are sovereign citizens to give up their sovereign status in order to be part of the corporation? Well, it was real easy. You have a stock market crash that is designed. You give people Social Security numbers to put them on the system. And just like that, they are no longer part of the sovereign system they used to be part of. And most people don't even realize it was just a quick-o, change-o kind of thing. 1913, the Federal Reserve Act came in, international bankers, and everything was solidified. Now America is completely under the control of foreign interests. Americans are no longer sovereign citizens, and the Federal Reserve, run by foreign bankers, they are running the show. Things continue to move along, and in 1921, the Council on Foreign Relations was born here in America as an extension of the Royal Academy out of England. This Council on Foreign Relations was put together in order to manipulate the media, to put forth the narrative that needed to be heard, not what was going on, but what was needed to be heard. The powers that be wanted to make sure that their message got out and nothing else. So the Council on Foreign Relations took charge of the media in 1921. That's nearly 100 years ago. Nearly 100 years ago, they took control of our media. And then, after World War II, which ended in 1945, you have the German scientists who were part of the propaganda machine of Joseph Goebbels. They all come to the United States of America, and they get employed by our government under Project Paperclip. Some of these scientists went on to be part of NASA, others to different agencies, and the principles of propaganda techniques were put into the American system and then worked against the American people. Now, in 1948, there was something very important that happened, and that's called the Smith-Mundt Act. The U.S. Informational and Educational Act of 1948, popularly called Smith-Mundt Act, is the basic legislative authorization for propaganda activities conducted by the United States Department of State, sometimes called public diplomacy. The act was first introduced by Congressman Carl E. Mundt from South Dakota, a representative, Republican, in January 1945 in the 79th Congress. It was subsequently passed by the 80th Congress, signed into law by President Harry S. Truman, January 27, 1948. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act 2012, which was contained in the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2013, amended the United States Information and Educational Act of 48 and the Foreign Relations Authorization Act of 87, allowing for materials produced by the State Department and the Broadcasting Board of the Governors to be available within the United States. In other words, propaganda could be used against the American people. Let me continue on a little bit more. With this, U.S. repeals propaganda ban, spreads government-made news to Americans. For decades, a so-called anti-propaganda law prevented the U.S. government's mammoth broadcasting arm from delivering propaganda to American audiences. However, on July 2nd, they came silent to an end with the implementation of a new reform passed in January. The result: an unleashing of thousands of hours per week of government-funded radio and TV programs for domestic U.S. consumption in a reform initially criticized as a green light for U.S. domestic propaganda efforts. So what just happened? Let me go backtrack here. This was from July 14, 2013. It says, until this month, a vast ocean of U.S. programming produced by the Broadcasting Board of Governors, such as Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and Middle East Broadcasting Networks, could only be viewed or listened to at broadcast quality in foreign countries. The programming varies in tone and quality, but its breadth is vast. It's viewed in more than 100 countries, 61 languages. The topics covered include human rights abuses in Iran, self-immolation in Tibet, human trafficking across Asia, and on-the-ground reporting in Egypt and Iraq. The restriction of these broadcasts was due to the Smith-Mundt Act, a long-standing piece of legislation that had been amended numerous times over the years, perhaps most consequently, Arkansas Senator J. William Fulbright. In the 70s, Fulbright was no friend of VOA and Radio Free Europe and moved to restrict them from domestic distribution, saying they should be given the opportunity to take their rightful place in the graveyard of Cold War relics. Fulbright's amendment to Smith-Mundt was bolstered in 1985 by Nebraska Senator Edward Zorinsky, who argued that such propaganda should be kept out of America to distinguish the U.S. from the Soviet Union, where domestic propaganda is a principal government activity. Zorinsky and Fulbright sold their amendments on sensible rhetoric. American taxpayers shouldn't be funding propaganda for American audiences. So did Congress just tear down the American public's last defense against domestic propaganda? BBG spokeswoman Lynn Whale insists BBC is not a propaganda outlet and its flagship services such as VOA present fair and accurate news. They don't shy away from stories that don't shed light on the United States. She told the cable, she pointed to the charters of VOA and RFE. Our journalists provide what many people cannot get locally, uncensored news, responsible discussion, open debate. All right, so there's more to this article, but you could see that there is a big problem because propaganda was being used upon the American people. Now, interesting to note, this was early in 1948 when this act was put in place. We move forward to the early 50s and Operation Mockingbird put CIA individuals in the media in order to further compromise and tell the story that needed to be told according to their perspective. And this was all confirmed in the 70s when in 1975, Democrat, because at that time they were interested on how the intelligence operation was spying on Americans, and they thought that that was really problematic. So this gentleman, this Democrat, put together these hearings, church committee hearings. Frank Church was his name, and they went forth, and these hearings produced a result that there were over 400 CIA personnel working in the mainstream media at that point in time. Over 400. This was 44 years ago in 1975. So all these years have gone on, and things have only continued to get worse. There were 400 back then. Just imagine how many more there are right now. What is the purpose and intent? It's to craft a story. To craft a story that the listener will hear, and they will believe that story. And as the bills were adjusted and these acts against propaganda were changed, and now propaganda could be used on the American people, this was making all of this legal. When President Trump signed the National Defense Authorization Act, he allowed this very thing to go on. So when we hear the fake media that is out there out of control, well, they're doing so because they know that they can legally get away with this because of what is on the books. If only the American people were smart enough to realize this, it might be a game changer. But for the most part, Americans are completely unaware of what is going on in their world, of what is going on around them. And they're just talking about, you know, the things that they know have happened within the last year or two of their lives. They don't know how to look back to see what happened in history or how things are manipulated. So that's the problem. That's where the fake news is. The president is exactly right. Fake news is a situation where people are faking the information, where they're not giving you real information. If people have wrong information, poor information, they make bad decisions. Bad decisions lead to bad results. Bad results lead to more bad decisions. It's like the whole saying, garbage in, garbage out with the computer. Same thing with humankind. Now, a lot of this suppression that took place upon the Americans did occur before the year 2000, but after the year 2000, specifically after September 11, 2001, things changed drastically. And it's been 18 years since that time. If you know any kids who are 18 years of age or younger, and they're running around saying America was never great, it's because they have never been taught what existed before them. Okay? A lot of people don't know what happened prior to 2000. They're just ill-informed about any of those things. None of those things matter. We're supposed to pretend that the things we're hearing now is the first time we're hearing them. Yet, Al Gore's been talking about global warming for a long time. And according to his statistics, there should be many things underwater. There should be a lot of dead polar bears, and the ocean should be higher. We should be in a completely dire situation at this point in time, and there would have been millions of people who should have been dead right now if all of the things he said were accurate. However, Al Gore is one big bag of hot air who was just lying, and weak-minded people believe those lies. Here we are in 2019, and we have even weaker-minded people out there spreading these lies as if they're gospel truth, and people that are even weaker-minded than the ones passing the knowledge are believing these lies. Can't discuss this with anybody because they think they know it all and absolutely know nothing of what's really going on. Tomorrow is the anniversary date of a very tragic event that occurred in our country that changed everything, which was the Twin Tower incident, the World Trade Center incident of September 11, 2001. There were some things that occurred, though, the day before it, on September 10th, which we can look back now in hindsight and see that they were part of the story. However, at that point in time, we didn't really have the luxury of being able to understand what was unfolding, and so we find out after the fact. But let's just go over a few of those things. September 10th, the day before 9/11, is a day of full of suspicious activity that begs to be investigated closely for indications of who had foreknowledge and complicity in the following day's surprise attacks. Dozens of these oddities exist, but here's seven of them. One, you may remember and recall that Rumsfeld announced that there were $2.3 trillion missing from the Pentagon. $2.3 trillion. The next morning, the Pentagon was hit in the exact location where the budget analysis was taking place and where they were trying to track down, and this killed analysts and destroyed records that were in that area. That's a strange coincidence, isn't it? 2.3 trillion is missing, and then the one area of the Pentagon that gets hit is the area where they are doing their bookkeeping to find out where that money went. Huh. Very, very strange. Another thing, September 10th, FEMA arrives in New York. Claims that Tom Kennedy mistook the arrival date are refuted by the fact that the interview with Dan Rather was on Wednesday, September 12th, and he accounted for Monday night, Tuesday, and that day, Wednesday. We arrived late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning, and not until today did we get a full opportunity to work the entire site. Furthermore, former New York Mayor Giuliani testified to the 9/11 Commission. The reason Pier 92 was selected as a command center was because on the next day, on September 12th, Pier 92 was to have a drill. It had hundreds of people here from FEMA, from the federal government, from the state emergency management office. They were getting ready for a drill for biochemical attack. So that was going to be the place that they were going to go to have the drill. The equipment was already there, so they were able to establish a command center there within 3 days. That was 2.5 times bigger than the command center that we lost at 9 at the 7 World Trade Center, and it was from there that the rest of the search and rescue effort was completed. Three, alarm bells sounded over unusual trading in U.S. stock options market September 10th. According to CBS News, in the afternoon before the attack, alarm bells were sounding over unusual trading in U.S. stock options market. It's been documented that the CIA, the Mossad, and many other intelligence agencies monitor stock trading in real time using highly advanced programs such as PROMIS. Both the FBI and the Justice Department have confirmed the use of such programs for U.S. intelligence gathering, though through at least this summer. This would confirm that the CIA should have had additional advance warning of imminent attacks against American and United Airlines planes. Four, Afghanistan war plans on Bush's death, September 10th. Plans for military action in Afghanistan were on President Bush's death 2 days before 9/11 on September 10th. Video embedded in the link. Okay, five, SRAS turned on for the exercise mode on September 10th. backup communication system was miraculously switched on for the exercise mode and ready for use on 9/11 from research by 9/11 blogger Shoestring. Six, General Montague Winfield steps down on September 10th. He was a Brigadier General W. Montague Winfield, asked Captain Lee Digg to temporarily take his place as Director of Operations at the Pentagon Command Center the morning of 9/11 from 8:30 a.m. until after Flight 93 crashed, whereupon Winfield resumed control. Lee Digg had qualified to stand in that position just the previous month. Winfield was promoted to Major General. And seven, Pentagon officials canceled flights on September 10th. According to Newsweek reported on September 13th, the state of alert had been high during the past 2 weeks, and a particular urgent warning may have been received the night before the attacks, causing some top Pentagon brass to cancel the trip. Why that information was not available and the 226 people who died on the four hijacked commercial aircraft may have become a hot topic on the Hill. Far from becoming a hot topic, the only additional media mention of the story will be in the next issue of Newsweek. A group of top Pentagon officials suddenly canceled travel plans for the next morning, apparently because of security concerns. We also have issues that came about where people didn't go into work, and, you know, a lot of strange things. Here's another link here, context of September 10th. 2001 meeting, FEMA representatives arrive in New York ready for training exercise. This is a scalable context timeline, contains events related to the event September 10, 2001. FEMA representatives arrive in New York ready for training exercise. You can narrow or broaden the context of this timeline by adjusting the zoom level. The lower the scale, the more relevant the items on average will be. All right, so this is a good place to go and look up some information here as well. Bottom line is there were a lot of shenanigans that were taking place, and we can now see in hindsight that the day before there were some really suspicious activities that did occur that we should have paid more attention to. Now, there were those who were paying attention to them, but they were simply chalked up as conspiracy theorists. See how dangerous that could be? When you chalk up and you say the people who are gathering information and trying to bring truthful intelligence to light, and then they are deemed to be conspiracy theorists in order to, you know, defer people away from their information, you now have a problem. Because now you have people not believing the source of information, and we now see that we should have listened to this information because there was one red flag after the other, after the other, after the other. And then, of course, 9/11 came, and the world has been different ever since. We could all go to an airport, we could fly on a plane, and we wouldn't have to go through security procedures where we walk through either with our hands up or have to go and have some TSA agent feel us up in order to get on a plane. We used to not be able to do that. That was one of the things that was great about America. Nowadays, you can't do that. Nowadays, you've got these TSA agents who are just out of control, agency out of control, and a lot more problems than it's actually worth, at least in my opinion, and I think the opinion of many others. So what we need to do is we need to be aware that we do have information available to us. If we turn a blind eye to it when it comes up, then we have no one to blame for ourselves. It goes back to that saying, bad things happen when good people say and do nothing, and 9/11 was one of those cases. Can't really get much worse than that. Hopefully we've learned our lessons from there. We'll see. But again, it all comes back to one important thing, and that is our ability to trust God. There's a higher power guiding things, and despite the evilness that is taking place, the evil in the hearts of humankind, there are still a lot of good things going on, and we just have to have confidence. We have to keep the faith that things will work out if we just trust God to get us through all of these tough, difficult times. All right? Trust God. That's it, my friends. That's it for the show for today. I'll be back tomorrow, 9/11 special, so we can get into the event of what took place 18 years ago, and we'll go from there. Till then, have yourselves an awesome day. God bless you. I'll talk to you soon. Peace. I'm out of here. firstcontactradio.com.